Well, good morning. Everybody hear me all right? Well, it's really good to be with you all this morning. My name is Kevin Borer, and I think we know a lot of you already, but Melissa and I have been with MAF for a number of years, and we have three kids, Kyle, Annie, and Ryan. I just wanted to, Pastor Dave asked me if I'd like to share some about the ministry of MAF and our work and our involvement with that. And so, we've been here kind of pretty much since the beginning and never really done that in a formal way. I think we've talked to a lot of you one-on-one or, kind of explaining more details. But what I want to do this morning is share a little bit more about our part with MAF looks like. And also what God is doing around the world through MAF. We're going to do a little bit of a world tour this morning. And then also just challenge you and see maybe what part you can play in world missions and what God's calling all of us to do. So, yeah, here's our family. This is a few months old now, but Kyle's off currently serving in the Navy. And Annie is now married, and she's going to be starting her last year at Moody in Chicago as an elementary ed, learning to be a teacher. And Ryan's still with us, although he's off at working in Oregon for the summer, so he'll be back in a couple weeks. But just kind of going ahead here, so we joined MAF back in 2001. I know you're probably thinking, who is that guy with Melissa? Because she doesn't look like she's changed much, but Kevin, a lot more hair there, and a lot skinnier. But we did join MAF all the way back in 2001. So Melissa and I, we actually met at Moody in Chicago. I was in the Mission Aviation Program. We joined in 2001 back when MAF was based down in Redlands, California, in Southern California. And I think most of you know now that MAF is actually located about a mile down the road from here. And so it's amazing, though, we still run into a lot of people that really have no idea that MAF is right here. And so that's why we're sharing with you all this morning. But we joined in 2001. That's Kyle, our naval officer there. 7 years later, for 7 years, we actually served in Ecuador and down in South America. Believe it or not, I actually was a pilot back in those days. And I got to fly all throughout the rainforest there, supporting the work of different missionaries. This is a local church leader to the Achuar people. There's also a lot of work with Compassion International, children supported throughout, and a lot of medical ministry as well. So, I really look back on those days with a lot of fondness. They were tough days, too, some tough years in there. But learned a lot as a pilot, learned a lot of things that I would probably do different if I was going back now. You just kind of learn through experience. But I'm very thankful for the experience that I got as that, because it really plays in well to my current role. And our family continued to grow while we were in Ecuador. Annie and Ryan were both born there. And then after 7 years in Ecuador, we transitioned over to Lesotho. And in Lesotho, I was in Southern Africa, if you're not familiar with it, and you'll get a better picture here in just a bit. But we are actually there. I was the country director for the program there. I didn't actually fly during that time. And I'm in a non-flying role right now as well. But our family continued to get a little older and wiser throughout those years. And we came back to the States in 2017. I joined our safety and quality division here at MAF, more on a global perspective and not just focused on one country specifically. So that brings us talking a little bit more about MAF. So here's Nate Saint working on his plane in front of the Nate Saint house. I don't know if it was called the Nate Saint house when he was living in it, but it's still there today. Life was a lot simpler back then. MAF began shortly after World War II. A lot of ex-World War II pilots got together and said, what if we could use the plane to do something to really spread the gospel and support missions. And so that's really where a lot of them came together and felt God calling them to use the airplane as a tool for that. So Nate was working on his plane here. Times have changed quite a bit since those days. Now we're flying some slightly bigger aircraft, a lot more expensive aircraft too, and more complex, because our environment has changed considerably from what it was back in those days. And we're in quite a few more countries than back when we started in the early days as well. But we're thankful for how God has provided some really great tools for the ministry, and I'm going to share a little bit more about, you know, what's the point of these tools. So just to give you guys an overview here, MAS vision is to see isolated people changed by the love of Christ. And we do that really through partnering with a lot of different mission organizations around the world that maybe can't do what they do without some MAF's ability to transport them in and out of where they need to get to. Our mission is serving together to bring help, hope, and healing through aviation. So again, we serve together, both together within MAF and also with, we partner with a lot of other organizations, like-minded organizations that are doing work throughout the world. So that, we always want to make sure we come back to that. And, you know, airplanes are really cool, but they also have a purpose, and we want to keep focused on why God has called us to do this work. My current role, I'm currently the International Director of Safety for MAF, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about what that means, what that looks like day-to-day towards the end of the presentation. I also want to make sure that I mention, so Melissa is currently working at MAF as well. She's the child care coordinator for MAF, and what that means is she gets to, a lot of families come through MAF for various reasons, be it for furlough or for candidacy, they want to join MAF or other training type events, and the parents may be off in classes for good parts of the day, and the kids need something to do. And so MAF, Melissa really helps to coordinate. She does a lot of childcare. It also coordinates with the other babysitters to make sure that those kids are well taken care of while the parents are busy in class. So very important role. And I have to introduce myself to some people at MAF as I'm Melissa's husband, because they know her as they've seen her on the childcare side and get to know and love her that way. But so just talking a little bit, you know, how do we define safety? Because that can be a real, I would say that we each define safety just a little bit differently. Some might say safety is the complete absence of risk. There's no chance of anything bad happening to me. There's no chance of an accident of any kind. And to be honest, that definition doesn't really work in our context. So that's a challenge we have. If our goal is to have to eliminate risk altogether, we would actually keep the planes parked in the hangars and never pull them out. But that's not the reality, and that's not what God has called us to do. And so we have to define safety. And so just a question like, okay, is it safe to take off? Those are some things that our pilots face each and every day around the world. You know, as they're sitting at the end of the runway looking at the airstrip, it's like, should I take off? Is it safe? Is the other winds acceptable? How's my weight of the aircraft? All sorts of things. Is it safe to take off? How about now? You know, we work in some very challenging places and a lot of challenging weather and environments. This is actually in Lesotho and up in the mountains, and so you get a lot of interesting weather mixed together there. So is it safe to take off? That's a decision that our pilots get to make each and every day. And I got to make a lot of those, several thousand of those myself. And So here's how we define safety at MAF. Our goal is to identify hazards, assess the risk, and manage that risk to an acceptable level. And that's a big part of what I get to be, to help guide MAF in, is identifying hazards and assessing risk. Because, again, like I said, we cannot eliminate risk altogether, so we want to manage that risk. We want to either reduce risk where we can, If risk is too great, then we will say, no, that doesn't justify doing that type of operation or something. But those are all difficult challenges and decisions that we get to be a part of. So I want to take just a little bit on a tour now around the MAF world. So we're located in a number of countries all around the world, to be honest, and 17 bases in 11 countries. And so right here, I'll start with MAF right here in Nampa, Idaho. So yeah, if you've never visited us or like to get a tour, you're more than welcome to contact us. We'd love to show you around, give you a better idea of what we do there. But we have a number of staff. Again, this is the main headquarters right here. So our primary, all of our maintenance and flight training happens here. All of our corporate fundraising and things like that happen right here as well. Jumping out here now, I want to go from country to country and just kind of give you an update on what's going on there. So Haiti, MAF's been in Haiti for a long time. And if you've seen the news in recent months and years, Haiti's been through a lot of turmoil. Gangs have pretty much taken over Port-au-Prince. And Port-au-Prince is actually where our main hangar is located. And we've had to pull our staff out of there. They went back earlier this year. And then just in the last couple of months, we had to make another tough decision to pull them back out again as the gang started, because we actually moved our base out of Port-au-Prince up to the north, to Pignon. But unfortunately, the gang started leaving Port-au-Prince and moving north. And we had set some trigger points and said, okay, if the gangs reach this place, we're going to have to make some tough decisions. And it's better to make those calls when you're not in the heat of the battle, so to speak. So they hit those trigger points, and so we had to really make a tough call to pull our staff out for safety and all of our aircraft as well. MAF has been there for a long time. There's a lot of important works going on. We do a lot of flights. We have done a lot of flights in Haiti for if you've ever been on a short-term trip to Haiti and gone to anywhere outside of Port-au-Prince, there's a good chance you flew on an MAF airplane. A lot of visitors and short-term mission work has been supported through MAF there, among other things like orphanages and hospitals and things like that. You could be praying for the country of Haiti. We're not sure what the future looks like there. We're not giving up on the country of Haiti, but for the sake of the safety of our people, feel like it was not wise to continue to place our staff there for the time being. But we are praying that the Lord would allow us to get back in there at some point in the future. So you can be praying for that. All the little red dots you see there are actual airstrips that we can go to in that country. And you'll see those in the next slides as well. So coming out of Haiti, we're going to go down to our old stomping grounds of Ecuador. And we have a place in our heart for Ecuador. When I was there flying, we had close to 200 airstrips that we could go into. It doesn't mean we went to all of those all the time, but it was a lot of those airstrips are short and slippery and muddy. In Shell, where we lived, we got about 20 feet of rain a year. That was the average rainfall. So it was just rainy and cloudy all the time. Our operation and program in Ecuador just celebrated 75 years of being there as well, back since the days of Nate Saint. If you can remember, and some of you may be familiar with the story of Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, and the five guys that were actually martyred there trying to reach the Guarani, known as the Auca Indians back in those days. They actually landed here on Palm Beach, they called it, which was a beach, kind of a sandbar on the Curaray River. And they had started to make contact with this group of people, but they were actually speared to death, all five of them. A lot of missionaries were called to come to serve because of that event back in 1956. This has been a long time ago, but I'd say there, God is still using that that story to reach people today. And if you come visit us at MAF, we actually have still some of the wreckage of that airplane at our headquarters on display, just as a reminder. Today, things look a little bit different. A lot of medical flights. I remember doing flying when during our time there, a lot of medical patients, be it pregnant mothers or people in different villages with health concerns. There's a lot of dangerous poisonous snakes out there. I flew a lot of snake bite victims back to the hospital. A number of them, would not have survived otherwise. And sometimes they didn't always survive either. But medical work is a big part of the ministry there, as well as doing different outreaches to different villages. Like I mentioned, rain and the weather there in Ecuador is a real challenge. So I remember spending three days on the ground there waiting on the clouds to lift beyond about what you see here. So you just never know. You always have to be prepared. I may not sleep in my bed tonight, and I have to be okay with that. So, some really important work going on. There are some local missionaries that we continue to support there, as well as other ministries. Coming out of Ecuador, let's go over to Africa, Democratic Republic of Congo, or the DRC, not to be confused with the Republic of Congo, which is next door to it. And so we actually have two different bases there, one on the far west side in Kinshasa, a very large city, the capital city there, and then let's see if I can point on here. It's not going to show up very well. Yeah, Kinshasa, you can see, is way to the left side, and then our other base is currently in Bunia on the far eastern side to the north. There's also been, if you've been paying attention to the news, there's been a lot of unrest in DRC and Congo in recent months and years. There's been fighting and tribal warfare going on there for many, many years. And unfortunately, innocent people get caught up in all of that maybe have nothing to do with it, but their villages get overrun, unfortunately. And so we've had to evacuate our staff from the east side on numerous occasions. Right now, our staff are back in the country, and you can be praying for them as, again, that country has struggled with stability for many years. A lot of important work going on there. So because of all of the unrest, there's a lot of internally displaced people. So there's a lot of these IDP camps all around the country, where people have been pushed out of their home areas due to unrest and unsafe conditions. And so then they end up somewhere else and nowhere to live. It's hard to even imagine. I think most of us in our comfortable American life can't really picture what that could ever happen to us. But just try to put yourself in their shoes a little bit and imagine what that would look like. So there's a lot of needs and medical needs as a result of this. MAF in DRC flies a lot of medications, vaccines, and just medical supplies supporting clinics there. There are also a number of pastors and church workers that fly on MAF there to get to different villages. And just a shot here of working on the airstrip. Keeping an airstrip cut down and safe operating is a constant process, especially in the jungle where it wants to reclaim what we stole from it. Airstrips rarely improve with time. And so the grass is always growing, the trees are always getting taller on the ends. And so it requires constant maintenance. And so we actually, the villages that we fly into are generally responsible to keep their airstrips maintained in a safe condition. This picture I just put there, it's a lot because of, again, a lot of the unrest and atrocities that go on in Congo. There's a lot of women that have been abused and really just discarded. And so MAF have been, a number of the wives, I believe, have been working with, trying to give some of these women hope in a future, and sort of teaching them how to sew, giving them some skills and things that they can use going forward, showing them that they have value in God's sight. Coming out of Congo over to Mozambique. So Mozambique, we've been there for, I believe it's 25 years now. I think we just celebrated 25. We are actually way up in the north in Nampula. You kind of see it, it's kind of towards the coast there. You can see the white lettering. So Mozambique, again, there's been a lot of unrest there, especially in recent years. Way up in the north, there's a number of military groups that have other, ideas of what the country should look like. And unfortunately, a lot of people get caught up in all of that too. I think you guys, some of you may remember Ryan Coher, and we were praying for him for quite a while there, as he had been actually detained by the government and put in jail for several months due to a technicality at a checkpoint, at a security, something that was actually not true, and he got kind of caught up in that with the passengers that he was taking to go bring supplies to an orphanage. They were bringing medications and vitamins and things like that, and the people doing in security that were doing the check decided that these materials hadn't been brought in properly, and so they arrested everybody, including Ryan. He was in jail for several months, finally released, and was here in the States for quite a while waiting on that case to settle. And just recently, they've gone back in recent months, and here's Ryan flying again there. So it's exciting to when, somebody that's gone through all of that, it would be hard for me, I think, if I spent time in a prison in a country that, accused of something that I didn't do, to want to go back and continue to serve there. So it's a real testament to God's faithfulness and their heart to serve the people. He and his wife have three kids. Is that right, Melissa? Yeah. So, yeah, we're thankful that Ryan's been able to get back there and continue to serve. A lot of medical work needed in Mozambique. There's a program called MOSMED that is a group of Christian doctors and nurses that we partner with, and we help. We're glad to be able to support them in their work as well. And whenever the plane shows up, it's a pretty big deal. Sometimes it again varies around the world, but when the plane shows up, it tend to draw a crowd, and they're excited to have MAF there. Down to Lesotho, again, on one of our old stomping grounds. And so, again, we've got a real heart for the people of Lesotho as well. Lesotho is a very relatively small country. It's only about 100 miles across, but all mountains. And so if this is in southern Africa, it is not South Africa. It is its own independent country, pronounced Lesotho, not Lesotho, as it looks like it. You'll hear that pronunciation a lot, but that's not right. We were based, our base there is in Maseru on the far western side, right on the border of South Africa, that all of our flying goes out into the mountains of Lesotho. Most of the country is, actually all of the country is over 5,000 feet. Most of the airstrips are at 6,000 to 7,000 feet in elevation up in the mountains. Even though it's only 100 miles across, it could take you all day, if you even make it in a given day, to travel to one of these villages, and we can get there in about 30 minutes on an airplane. So yeah, it's Lesotho is known as the Mountain Kingdom. They have a king and a queen, and it is all mountainous there. It's a beautiful country, but quite dry and barren in many ways as well. They are known as the blanket people. So Lesotho is far enough south, actually right now being July here, we're sweating and everything, and they are in the middle of winter down there. So believe it or not, it actually gets cold enough in Lesotho to snow up in the mountains. They depend on snow for water collection and runoff, but life is hard for people living up in the mountains. So their tradition is to wear blankets to stay warm like this. They're known as the blanket people. Lesotho has been ravaged, like a lot of African countries, by HIV/AIDS. Estimates are a little hard to nail down, but they estimate at least probably 30% of the population is infected with HIV in Lesotho. And what that means is there's a lot of orphans as a result of parents not being there for their kids. And so there's a huge number of orphans. A couple hundred thousand is what they estimate in Lesotho, of a country of only 2 million people. So we get to fly a lot of support clinics and things that are also reaching kids like these. Sometimes even we get to fly shoeboxes from Samaritan's Purse. That's always fun, I think, annually to be able to do that as well. So I wanted to highlight here one of our big, I'd say, highlights for Lesotho and a number of our countries around the world are our national staff. We have, it's not just the missionary staff that have raised support to go overseas, it's also we've got a lot of really quality people working alongside us that come from the countries in which we serve. This is Maila. Actually, I think he may have visited here once with us when he was through here. But Maila is one of our mechanics in Lesotho. He got to go and be trained as an aircraft mechanic out in Michigan, and now he's back serving with MAF there. Twathlani here, he's also been with MAF for a long, long time, serving as a mechanic. And then Retsilisitswe Cheteng, or Joe as he's affectionately known in the background there, has been a mechanic with MAF for 30 plus years now. And he's just a great guy, good friend as well. So yeah, we have some really quality people that we get to work with in these countries. And these are just some examples of them. All right, and I've put here Guinea and Liberia and Nigeria. I don't have a bunch of pictures to show for these. I just wanted to highlight Guinea and Liberia. We do have a partnership with MAF International, so this is the headquarters for MAF US here, but MAF International is a sister organization based in the UK, and we do work closely with them in a lot of ways. And they actually had a need to work together with us in Guinea and Liberia, and so we've been doing that for the last several years. I get to be fairly involved with some of that due to my role in safety, and so I'm not sure if I will or not, but there's a good chance I may be going there later this year just for a safety kind of audit visit. Some good work going on there, challenging places to operate as well. I put Nigeria here. We actually don't have a program there yet, but that's the latest place that we feel like God is calling us to reach. We were actually approached by some Christians and a Christian hospital as well that needed some support and came to MAF as well as Samaritan's Purse. It's kind of a joint kind of working together there. So we're in the beginning stages of opening that program. We actually have a plane that Samaritan's Purse was part of helping to donate to MAF. And we're hoping to get there in the next year or so. But again, starting a whole new flight operation is complicated. You don't just show up and just hop in. It's not like the days of Nate Saint where you can do whatever you want and people are happy to have you there. We actually now have to comply with a lot of different laws and regulations and make sure that we're doing everything by the book. And so getting all of those things in order beforehand will take some time. But we're praying that God will use MAF in Nigeria. And then over to Indonesia. And again, in my role as the director of safety for MAF, it's awesome because I get to go to all these places and do audits and see them in person and meet the stay in touch with all of our other missionary staff. So it's I get excited to talk about these because it's not just some distant place that I can't relate to. It's nice to have been to these different places. So Indonesia, way over in Asia. I think a lot of people don't realize how large Indonesia is and how many different islands it's made up of. We actually have two different programs or operations there. One based in Kalimantan there, which is on the island of Borneo. And we've been there for many, many years. Supporting, and I would say in both locations, a lot of our work is in support of the national church, which is exciting. The national church has gotten to a point where they are reaching their own, but we actually partner alongside with them to help make that happen. Papua on the right side there is the island of New Guinea is split there. Papua on one side, Papua New Guinea, a separate country on the other side. And so we actually have four different bases on the Papua side as well. We do a lot of different types of flying there. We have a amphibious caravan in Papua reaching different villages along some of the rivers in that area. Just again, working with the National Church, it's great to see, and kids just love airplanes. I remember when we were in Ecuador, it was very normal as you taxi down to the end of the runway and turn around and get ready to take off, all the kids would gather behind the plane just waiting for you to add the power, and then they'd stand there and just wait to be blown. That was like the highlight of their day. So I think that pretty much happens around the world too. So this is from a recent visit that I was able to go on an audit. We stopped in this particular village. I don't know if you can see that there, but we're standing at the top of the airstrip, and the airstrip, it's kind of hard to see, but it just kind of goes off the down the hill there. And so you land up the hill and take off downhill. And so it's a takeoff is pretty fun. It happens very quickly. You can see the windsock, a little tiny, I don't know if you can see it on that screen, but a little tiny orange windsock way down there. Papua has some of our more challenging airstrips. But again, there's the number of villages and people groups throughout that country are just numerous. And you can be a couple miles across the valley from another village that speaks an entirely different language, and they don't really know each other at all. So as far as Bible translation and things like that, there's a lot of work to be done to reach these different people groups. And so a lot of our work there is in support of Bible translators and other partners within the church. Just a shot from a recent visit that I got to make there. So, even as we go on these trips, we get to ride along, and one of the things I get to do is just observe, like, are we following our procedures? Are we doing checklists as we should? Because all of that contributes to safety, and we want to make sure that we're not letting things slide with time. It's easy as we get comfortable with the job, the work that we're doing, to maybe skip over some things, and so we want to make sure that we're being consistent across the world. I put this picture here just as it's a sobering reminder. So this is a few years ago, our last, I would say, serious accident that we had at MAF was Joyce Lynn in Indonesia. This is Lake Sentani. In my recent audit visit, we got to one of the missionaries there took us out on his boat on the lake, and we went to where she crashed into the water, just to kind of, because I was a part of the whole accident investigation and everything, but I did it from a distance, and so it was a little more, kind of brought it home to actually go where it actually happened. And and so we also got to visit her grave site there. It's just, again, it's a reminder to me of why safety is important, why I do what I do in my role at MAF, because we don't want to, our safety obviously is in God's hands, but going through things like this is a good reminder of why safety is really critical. not only for our own pilots, but also for anybody that climbs on our airplanes. And lastly, I just kind of have a generic dashed line here. We do have some other additional works going on in the Asia region, in some more of restricted access countries that we really can't put on. You won't find them on our website or anything like that, but I will just say you can be praying for these locations. Christianity, there's very few Christians working, living in some of these areas, and the needs are huge. And MAF plays an important role in these couple of these countries, both as a light where there is no light, and also we even have we are partnering with some of these governments in order to provide flight training. It's sort of like an opportunity to be in a country that using aviation where we wouldn't be allowed to be there otherwise. So you can be praying for we would just say the Asia region for now. But. All right, as I mentioned, so that's a bit of a tour of MAF around the world. Just want to kind of wrap up here a little bit. So again, my current role, International Director of Safety. What do I do in that role? Well, thankfully we don't have a lot of accidents, but occasionally things do happen. We do have incidents that occur from time to time. So I get to be a part of accident and incident investigation should those be needed. You can see this plane. This is what happens when you hit a Golden Eagle at 180 knots. So it does quite a bit of damage, not only to the plane, the Eagle is no longer with us, but things like that have an impact. And the airplane, it was down for months while I was waiting on parts and to get repaired. So obviously we can't always predict where a bird's going to be, but things like that, we want to make sure that we look into them and try to, what could we have done differently perhaps to prevent that in the future. I get to go on audits, as I mentioned, traveling around a couple places a year typically. A big part of my job is actually managing MAF's safety management system, or it's known as SMS in the industry. So SMS involves, we actually have a whole reporting system. Anybody that has something that happens to them, an event, or they identify a hazard, they can submit a report. It can be anonymous if they want it to be, it doesn't have to be. We take all of those reports that come in and we look at them and go, what are the risks? What can be done to reduce the risk if possible? Another thing I get to be a part of, and this is growing now, is identifying hidden hazards through data analysis. Now, this is probably not too exciting to many of you, but there's our airplanes are putting out, especially our newer aircraft, they're putting out about 70 data points a second that we can actually use to analyze some things and go, okay, what is going well, what's not going well. We can flights can be plotted on Google Earth and analyzed. Accidents, we've even like Joyce Lynn's accident, we had all the data from her airplane and we could see right where she was all along the way, including airspeeds, altitude, and that kind of thing. This was an incident that we had where our plane was landing in Indonesia, the red one there, and another airplane from somebody else came very close to ours. He was not cleared to land, and we were cleared to land, and he came out of nowhere. So it was what we call a near miss or a very close call. And so we get those reports, and I get to go look at them and go, okay, what happened? And again, without the data, it's all kind of like based on somebody's memory. But now we can actually pull up the data and go, here's what actually happened, and here's how close they actually came. So. And then we get all sorts of really cool graphs and things. And so we're actually now, we have some new software that can take all of that data and analyze it and filter out, looking for, did we hit some triggers like, you know, be it bank or pitch or engine parameters, and say, help us to identify things that maybe we need to look into. Or also really the biggest thing is looking for trends. Are we, are we routinely getting low on an approach to a certain airstrip, and why might that be before we have an event that actually hurts somebody or damages an airplane. Again, all of that takes time and resources, and so we're trying to strike the right balance of all of that, and again, allowing the ministry to continue. Yeah, and reporting. I mentioned all these reports that we talk, people can report. Well, we can actually take all of that and go, okay, what kind of reports are we getting, and what are the greatest number of hazards and things happening? Because we have limited resources, and we want to make sure that we're applying those resources to reduce risk where it'll have the greatest impact. Yeah, I'm just going to skip through some of these, but again, looking at risk matrices and all sorts of fun stuff there. So, but again, I want to come back to, you know, why do we do all this? Why is safety important? Well, because, again, our vision is to see isolated people changed by the love of Christ. And when we say isolated, sometimes those people are physically isolated. Maybe they're out in a remote village somewhere. Maybe they're religiously isolated, or in their particular country, they're isolated because of political reasons or whatever. There's a lot of reasons for being isolated, and our goal with MAF is to try to help reach people like that. Serving together, again, our mission statement, to bring help, hope, and healing. So I just want to challenge you guys, kind of as I wrap up here. How do we see people around the world? Maybe people that are alike, just like us, that are different than us. People that are in far parts of the world. Maybe people that are in our own backyard. How does God see them? I want to encourage, really challenge you to take a look at that. How does God see people? Matthew 25:31-40 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" This is Jesus speaking. "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" I think it's a good reminder to me of God sees each person. He doesn't see us based on our where we were born. He doesn't see us based on our position in life, or how much money we have in our bank account, or what our education is. He sees each one and loves each one of us around the world. Do we see people that we come in contact with in the same way? Just want to challenge you to think about that. "Then children were brought to him," Jesus, "that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and went away." And again, I just want to really challenge you to consider how do you see people that are different than you? And I would also encourage you, if, you know, we have young people here, or you know, people wondering, you know, what can I do with my own life? Well, you know what? There's the workers are a few, I'm going to be honest, out there. MAF, we're seeing, we have a shortage of people around the world, and I know missions in general is seeing a real shortage of people to carry on the work that God's called us to do. And I realize not everybody can go. God's called each of us but he's called us to play a part, to be a part of that. I want to say that we're thankful to be a part from where we're at. We're also thankful to the church here for partnering with us and supporting us in our work with MAF. It's humbling, and so we thank you for that. But I also want to challenge you to consider, what part can you play in reaching the least of these. Maybe it's giving financially. I would encourage you to pray that God would bring more workers, because we are very, very short, and we're starting to see certain opportunities. We're having a hard time meeting all of the needs that come our way because of the lack of staff. And then maybe God's calling you personally to actually get involved in a more direct way. And I would say, seek God's will, pray about that. But he has called all of us to be a part in reaching the lost. So thank you. I'm going to turn it over to, I guess I should ask the worship team to come up. So thank you.